about children, the kind of things I love about children is that they are completely for real all the time. We learn how to cover things as we get older, don't we? Not them. They'll tell you exactly the way it is, whether we want to hear it or not. But they can have fun and let loose. I hope you can pray for us. We have a good number of those signed up already. No doubt we're going to have those on tomorrow night show up and register. So what we need most, we have most of our bases covered. We've got Olga from the CEF team coming with one other. We have some crowd control needs. We've got snacks by Lorraine and friends. So that's going to be exciting. And they're going to be learning some Bible stories. The theme for this week is Camp Turnaround. And we're looking forward to that. Stories in the Bible, particularly the Gospels, where people turned around. How God turned them around. Met them, turned them around, changed their whole lives. So we're excited about that. Just curious this morning, how many of you had difficulty getting to church? Okay. You are my heroes this morning. You get extra credit. If you didn't get the email that I sent out as an email blast last year, write down your email on the piece of paper that's in your program. You'll get those kind of like things that we find out right in the middle of the night. No doubt what happened or happens sometimes on a Sunday morning is directly related to the message that God has for that morning. This morning's message is the follow-up for last week, and that is to take courage. And we're going to be talking about discouragement this morning and how often it creeps into our life at the most unsuspecting times, and we have to be prepared for it. 2 o'clock last night, my fire alarms in my house were going off. We lost power, and I've got my son and his family, the grandkids, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I'm on top of a chair trying to get this thing. It's so blurry, I can't even figure out how to get it off the ceiling. And it's chirping, and it's beeping. I've got 7 fire alarms in my house. So, no doubt that's because we were trying to say something spiritual this morning. Look at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Verses 1 through 6 will be our text. Going all the way down to verse 16, I'll be mentioning this. Therefore, having this ministry, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. That's the word, we do not get discouraged. But we have renounced the disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning, to tamper with God's word, but to the open statement of the truth. We would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world, who do you think that is? It's Satan himself. God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. What a beautiful description of the gospel. Speaking of Christ, who is the image of God, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we come to this text humbled by what it says. And pray that you would help us to understand what exactly the Apostle Paul meant when he said that he does not get discouraged or to lose heart in light of the things that were happening to him. We find out in verses 7 down through verse 16, we do not lose heart. Help us, Lord, to see what you would have us see, the light that you describe of the glorious gospel of Jesus. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard it said, winners never quit and quitters never win. That may be true, but there are times when winners feel like quitting. Would that describe you? How easily we get discouraged for whatever reason. Our jobs are not panning out like we thought. Family life is a little more difficult than we anticipated. Efforts to reconcile with friends or family members falls apart. People disappoint us. Our jobs disappoint us. We get discouraged. You've heard it said also that when the going gets tough and the toughs get going, and that may be true. But truth be told, there are times when the going gets tough that the tough want to crawl back into bed and hide from the cruel world. I have to confess, there are times that happens to me. Seems like often that the more public a figure, the less likely they are to admit times of discouragement. We all want to be winners, but becoming a winner entails the strength to stay at a task even when you feel like giving up. It is the willpower to keep on keeping on when you'd rather resign. Call it whatever you'd like. Determination, endurance, persistence, tenacity. Whatever it is, there's an undeniable mark of a champion. As you look at this text, what's interesting in verses 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul speaks of not losing heart, not getting discouraged. It's actually found in the present tense. He's not continually discouraged or despondent or wanting to give up or to quit. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And in verse 17, what he calls this momentary affliction is somehow, and known perhaps only to God, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. I don't understand that. I'd like to think that I do. When we get to that place where we want to get, well, we want to throw in the towel. It's like somebody punches you in the gut. It's like you have no inner strength, no reserves. Getting up is a chore. Getting to work out the door is a chore. It seems like the older we get, the more likely that seems it happens. Can I suggest to you this morning that God is actually doing a work, and maybe you don't think he is, and it just seems like all is lost, like one of the figures in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. We're doomed. We're lost. God is actually at work. This morning I'd like to suggest that there are pictures of staying power in the life of the Apostle Paul that he wants us to see. He mentions them in verses 8 and following. And then he's going to tell us the secret of endurance. How to have staying power. How, in fact, the Bible talks about taking courage. When you hear the words taking courage, Jesus said it to a number of people that we'll see. It sounds like it's something that you do, and you just need to knuckle under and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. But that's not the biblical idea nearly at all. What are the pictures of staying power? Well, they can be found, these portraits, I call them, of endurance, can be portrayed in almost every area of life. For a boxer, it's to stay in one more round. For it's a painter, it's making one more attempt at a portrait. For a racer, it's to get it back into the car or back onto the horse if you get thrown or your bicycle. It's just not to quit. And what an old pastor friend of mine said, he said, if you want to succeed in life and ministry, he said, here's my advice. 99% of the time, it's just showing up. It's just not quitting. The Apostle Paul had a lot he could suggest. He'd been imprisoned. He'd been flogged 5 times. He'd been beaten. He'd been stoned. He experienced 4 shipwrecks. He knows what it's like to go down. He had been without sleep. He suffered dangers from his own countrymen, he says. He despaired, chapter 1 of verse 8 of 2 Corinthians, he says, we despaired even of life. That tells me that it's possible for Christians to get to that place. It's not all pie in the sky. Everything's going to be great. No, actually it can get pretty sucky. In our family, we talk about what it's like to live on the back of the struggle bus. In fact, we're in the very back row of the struggle bus, next to the bathroom in the struggle bus. Second Corinthians 11, Paul, the apostle, details just how bad it got for him. Verse 23, he says, we are servants of Christ. I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman, he says, but know this, he says, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Verse 24, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned. I was shipwrecked. In perils of rivers and perils of robbers and perils, he says, and King James says. I like how it says that, in perils. Perilous times. Dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers with false brethren. In toil and hardships, it just goes on and on. Sleepless nights, hungry and thirsty, without food, in the cold and exposed, he says. Sounds pretty perilous, doesn't it? So how was he able to get to that place saying, I'm not discouraged? There are pictures here that are pretty obvious. The pictures of pressure, verse 8, we were pressured on every side, but not crushed. Verse 8b, there's a picture of confusion. We were perplexed, but not in despair. I like the buts in this passage. Yes, the reality was he was pressured. Yes, the reality was he perplexed, but not in despair, not crushed. The picture of being chased in verse 9, he says, we were persecuted, but not abandoned. Picture of being thrown down, verse 9, we were struck down but not destroyed. Isn't there a song that talks about this? We're pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. That's a good song. The interesting thing to me is that the but is telling us that God was right there with them. And it's the only promise that we have as Jesus left. I will never leave you. In the original language, there's a way of compounding the strength of a statement by adding negatives. And the one that has more negatives than any other place in the New Testament is in the passage where Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And literally what it says, because of all the negatives, it wouldn't sound like good English, but in the original language, it would say, I will never at any time ever even think of leaving or forsaking you. That's the strength of it. But we don't talk like that. But the value of that, huge. Now, if you're like me, you would do everything to keep yourself from falling victim to the kind of things the Apostle Paul was talking about, only for his testimony of Jesus. But we experience some of those things just because we're going through life. The book of Hebrews, and it apparently was very intense when the apostles first started, but as time went on, he tells a group of second-generation Christians, he said, listen, you guys. Now, he could have said a lot more, but he said, listen, you guys. You have not yet resisted unto blood. In other words, I know what it's like to suffer. And isn't it just that way? I think, truth be told, I'd have to admit I've got some soft skin. I can get offended. I can get upset. I can get discouraged. And I'm not really even experiencing a time of hardship. Apostle Paul knew what it was like to struggle. Do you ever feel pressured? Do you ever find yourself confused or perplexed? And I'm like, I'm not sure what I need to do here. The word he uses in verse 9 of being hounded or pursued, it's hunting terminology. It's like somebody's chasing you. Thrown down. 1 Peter chapter 5, the devil is likened to a lion that, dun, 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 just like Jaws, dun, 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 he stalks his prey. You know lions, when they roar, it's an attempt to put fear, instill fear into the victim so that they don't run away. It's like, ah! That's what he does. We looked at this last week in light of the ministry that we have, the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit is the continuer, the abiding presence of Jesus himself, the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is there to be with us. I love that. Can't say that I'm always aware of that. I need to be more aware than I am. So what's the secret of endurance that he's talking about in verses 1 and 16? Therefore, having this ministry, says, I do not lose heart. Verse 16. He says, therefore, having this ministry, we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away. That's the reality. Our inner self is being renewed. It's present tense, continually being renewed every day. There's a secret, and he wants us to know it. All too often, people are defeated not because of a lack of ability. They have all the strength in the world to withstand the pressures that they're under. But too often they quit too soon. It's a very famous story of Catalina Island out in California. It's an island 24 miles off the coast of California, and there's a swim, just like Princeton is having a triathlon as we speak. And people swim from the shore, and there's a host of people that start every year. And they're going to swim 23 miles out and 24 miles back. That's a swim. And it was often done mostly by men, but one year a woman attempted to do this. One of the first women actually attempted to do this. And the way they do open ocean swims is they have like a little rowboat that stays in front of somebody and swims along with the swimmer, so, or boats along with the swimmer, so that, you know, if something happens, they can drag them into the boat and be disqualified, but at least they're alive. And if they see dangers like sharks and things like that, and this one particular gal started swimming and swimming, but as the West Coast often happens, a fog settled in on the swim. So you couldn't see the people around you. You could hear them, but you couldn't see them. She's swimming and swimming and swimming, and she's thinking, oh, I've got to be close. But as she kept swimming, she got numb, and then all the things that happen to you while you're in a race, you know, I'm tired, and I just want to quit, and she keeps going. After a while, she doesn't hear anybody swimming around her, and she's thinking, maybe I'm off course, and maybe this or that. And you could probably guess the end of the story. She gets discouraged and she finds herself, and that's enough, and she waves herself off. The fog is too great. She's not hearing any swimmers around her, only to find out that she was 50 yards from the end. She was so mad at herself. She was so discouraged. She thought, I had just that far to go. Isn't it just like the devil to get us committed to something, we start off strong, and only to find ourselves giving in? Well, this lady didn't give up. In fact, she went to the library and she looked for books that would teach her how she could better her skills in swimming to Catalina Island. And she realized that there are no books on the subject. So what did she do? She wrote a book on how to make it to Catalina Island. The next year, the next race, not only did she make the race and complete the race, maybe not in record time, but she made $1 million on the sales of her book. Who wouldn't want to know how to make it to the end, to endure? The biblical doctrine of perseverance is one that found its way into the Reformation and the five points of Calvinism, the perseverance of the saints. How that if you have the Holy Spirit, the doctrine basically says, then you have the power of God that begins with a message of Jesus, the gospel, the good news. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says that it is the power of God unto salvation. That's how you become a Christian. Believing the essential truths, but the implications is God takes over your life. He gives you the Holy Spirit and the power within to endure to the end. And yes, we may quit. We might disgrace God as the apostle Peter did at the fire, saying, I don't even know the guy. But that doesn't stop us from being part of God's family. God doesn't throw us away because we disappoint him. The great doctrine of perseverance is one of those things that you can hardly deny when you're in that place where you want to quit. Yeah, we could quit. And people do, but you know, God doesn't leave us alone. He deals with this in the quietness of the night. Read through the Psalms and you'll find that David often wanted to quit. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for here it is, you are with me. There is no place that God will ever send you where he will not go with you. Psalm 139 says, if I make my bed in the depths of Sheol, depths of the grave, even there your spirit is with me. Isn't that encouraging? Have you ever been at that place? As a parent, I'm sure you have been. As a mother, I'm sure you have been. In the workplace, when everybody seems to get ahead by stepping on others' faces, and you're committed to integrity and doing what's right, you have been as well. The secret of endurance is not giving up. That secret is one that you can take with you the rest of your life. As you think of taking courage, there's a very interesting phrase, and you've heard me mention it before. To take courage, something Jesus told folks just 7 times in the New Testament. In each case, it was a situation that occurred where people were absolutely helpless, absolutely without resources, absolutely without strength to change anything. It means to radiate confidence. But that almost sounds like something I have to somehow drum myself up to. But when Jesus used this phrase, take courage, it is I, be not afraid. He said it to the apostle Peter when he was on the Sea of Galilee. He had sent him out onto the sea, and the seas were rough. They were started out calm, but became rough, and in the middle of the night, they see Jesus walking on the water towards them, and they thought it was a ghost. They hear the words of Jesus. They all did, but only Peter got out of the boat, and he says, Jesus said, it is I. Take courage. When Peter started to sink into the water, after he had walked on water, Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. He says it to the paralytic. He said it to the woman with an issue of blood. He said it to his disciples as they were in the middle of the sea. He said it to blind Bartimaeus. Take courage, take courage, take courage, take courage. Here's what it actually means. As Jesus said these words, the uniqueness of the phrase is that Jesus is telling them to do something that in their own strength they have no ability to do, but will, with the statement, actually gain an infusing of his strength to do it. While he's saying it to them, they are believing his words and responding. So his infusion of strength is also working his inworking of faith. He's putting it in their hearts to believe it and find rescue. Isn't that good? You almost have to experience that to know what it's talking about. Now, we don't have the physical presence of Jesus in our life like they did. But we do have the Holy Spirit that whispers in our ear or affirms the Word of God when we read it and we believe it. And the same is true. If you were to take any kind of source and look up the words take courage, take and courage are two words in English, but it's one word. It's to be taking courage and receiving courage at the same time. The taking implies an action on our part, like grasping. But the key is really the believing that it'll happen when we ask for it. I don't mind prayers of desperation. Oh God, help me. Whether you're in a race or maybe a race for your life. All the courage that we need is already inside us. And it needs to find an awakening when we take God at his word and believe it and embrace it. Can I suggest we need to just get quiet and stop being fearful? It's the devil who whispers in our ear, who causes us to doubt. He's a thief and he comes to destroy. Do it one time, do it a second time, do it a third time, and you'll begin to build a new history, taking God at his word. To take courage is one of those things I would love to think happens to me, but more often than not, I get terribly afraid. I don't often talk about my early childhood because it wasn't the happiest. And I lived with a fear. I can't explain it. It was like a night terror. I can't tell you why I got afraid. As a little kid, I thought something lived under my bed. I thought something lived in my closet. And at nighttime, on the third floor of a row house in Philadelphia, or outside of Philadelphia, I would jump twice so I could jump on my bed. Because I didn't want what was ever under my bed or in my closet to grab me by the foot. Do I understand it? No, it's a childhood fear. Fear can grip us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says that the devil himself, of all the things that the devil does, can sometimes keep people bound, here it is, their whole life. Doesn't even matter what the fear is. It's just a fear of, it's a phobia of something. I don't know if you know Garrison Keillor, the Prairie Home Companion. Garrison Keillor said this. He said, I wanted to be a writer since I was a boy, though it seemed an unlikely outcome since I showed no real talent. But I persevered and eventually found my own row to hoe. Ignorance of other writers and their work keeps me from discouragement. See the implication there? And I am less well-read than the average bus driver. But boy, can he crash and tell a story. I don't know the kind of things that you face, what goes on in your mind, but too often than not, and I think the devil has had a heyday with us as God's people. Take courage, my friend, and know this, that Jesus, the Son of God, who died for you, also stands with you in every effort of your hands. Be steadfast, 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection passage. Be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much what? For as much as you know that your labor, here it is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus said you can't hand somebody a cold glass of water in his name without receiving a reward. When will that happen? I don't know. And what others may never see, Jesus sees. Take courage, my friend. When others seem to be succeeding and you may not be. In your own mind, you're defeated because the devil is a liar and the father of it. Take no thought, the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, take no thought for tomorrow shall take care of itself. There is enough evil in one day for you to take care of it. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and I leave you with this, when it comes to all the things that he faced in life, he said, speaking of the thorn in the flesh that he was giving, something he called a buffet of Satan. It was this messenger of Satan to buffet me. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I will therefore glory, he says, in my weakness. I find myself apologizing a lot less for my weaknesses and saying, God, use whatever weakness. Where is the wise man? Where is the strong man? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, God has made foolish the strength of the world, the wisdom of man. And in a sense, we become fools for Christ's sake. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. That is the people surrounding Israel as they march into the promised land. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Old covenant, new covenant. Take courage because God is always with us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10 says. Child of God, know that you are not alone. Not only do you have God in the presence of the Holy Spirit, but you have one another. You have the strength of a local church to stand with you as you go through life's trials. So that whatever may come, whatever we have to go through it together. Let's pray. Father, and thank you so much for these that you've brought here today and for that one that may become discouraged so easily, Lord, because of just the history. Strengthen them from the inner man. Holy Spirit, awaken their conscience, their understanding of what it means to be strong in the Lord. It's not our own strength. As you say in Galatians 2:20, Lord, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Lord, we don't understand all the nuances of what that means, but we can sense when you take over, Lord. In our own strength, we fail, but in your strength, we succeed. Help us take courage to find strength through the Lord Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Do what you've called us to do, each and every one of us. Father, and for all the lasting results that are accomplished, we will give you praise. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.